When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And today we have somebody that anybody in our field would say is a leader in that field. We have Colin Milner. He's the founder of the International Council of Active Aging. He is the Active Ager Cheerleader in Chief. And he is somebody that has gone all over the world. Some of us say we'd like to start a movement. He has. So he's a man of many parts. And I was delighted to know that he spent a few weeks here in beautiful Palm Springs. We're speaking now to an international audience here on Generation Bold Radio. He's an international global thinker, and I can't wait to introduce you to Colin Milner. Colin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it is my pleasure, Adrian, and I'm really looking forward to our conversations, as I always do.
Yeah, I mean, they are great because it's wonderful, like two dinosaurs finally found each other before we become extinct. So we talk the same talk. But let's explain. There is an organization. It's your organization. You started it. We have an audience here of very active adults, and we also have folks that are really entrenched, and they're of all ages, in the field of aging. So we kind of do a dual presentation here. Tell us all what the organization that you founded is all about, and really why you founded it. What was the motivation? It's a lot of hard work and a lot of years I've seen you do and create a miracle here, but you must have been very highly motivated. So tell us about your organization and your stimulus for creating it.
Well, the organization International Council on Active Aging was born out of frustration, as many things are. Frustration where there was industries, not just a industry, but multiple industries that could or should be working with older adults to improve their health and well-being, to embrace an aging population, but they weren't. And part of that was because of the perceptions of what aging actually was and what older adults were, which was all ill-founded. The sad part about it is that in many instances, some of it is still in existence today, but a lot has changed over that period of time. And our goal when we launched was to change the way we age, and to change the way we age by helping people to live better longer, and by doing so, to move the conversation away from burden to capabilities, from challenge to opportunities. That's not saying that we are denying that there are many challenges that we all face as we grow older. I certainly know that from spending my time in Palm Springs and playing pickleball, and now I'm paying for it with my shoulder. You know, my shoulders right. are feeling it. However, I would never turn away from doing what I just spent 3 months doing because I highly enjoyed it. And I think that's the difference today, is that we realize that we can do all of these things where my parents' generation were told you couldn't. And that's
You said something interesting, Colin, there. You said you started the organization to change the way we age. You're a very forward-looking person. You're always there a little bit ahead of the curve. You really are. We're going to talk about purposeful living versus a life purpose in a couple of questions. And you'll see what a thinker Colin really is. But you talked about change the way we age. It wasn't so much that you saw people changing. It was because you were supporting people to change. And one
Absolutely.
Of the things you told me that you're sick and tired of hearing about aging or healthcare or things for the future. It's right now. So tell us about that.
Well, a lot of times when we talk about population aging, the conversation is always there's this wave of people coming. And that we need to prepare, and governments need to start putting policies into place, and healthcare needs to shift to adjust to it. That's all fine, and that is real. But that also has been the same conversation for the last 20 to 25 to 30 years. I think in between that time, we need to also focus on who is around today who can benefit from change actually occurring now while we plan for the future. I would hate to think that we lose the opportunity to engage a generation because we delayed our thinking and our response, which in some cases has happened.
Because we're waiting for America to grow old, and we're looking at population charts, and we're seeing a trajectory, but we're not saying, hey, some of us are here right now, and actually, some of us are 78 million people just in this country alone. So during your journey, and tell us when you started the organization, the ICAA, during this long journey, did anything surprise you? We know things have frustrated you. You made that pretty clear. But has anything surprised you on the good side or the bad side?
Very much so. We launched actually 2 weeks after 9/11 in 2001. Wow. And along the way, what surprised me was how long it took for people to embrace that there is this massive population out there worldwide that is waiting and looking for people to address their needs from a business perspective, from a governmental perspective, from all different angles. And we waited and we waited. And what amazed me was just how long we have had to wait to get a response when you're talking about a billion. I mean, really, if you think about it,
it's a billion worldwide. Yep, it is.
Yeah, I mean, a massive, massive number of people. And my simple question was always, don't over a billion people who are over the age of 50 require attention, require focus, require a response as opposed to neglect? And the simple answer is yes.
And you know what's interesting? And part of it is our fault, I'm going to say this, and I mean you and me, is that the movement has been a little strange and unrealistic. It's gone from all of us being seen as patients and needy, and everything is about the entitlements. Colin, I just did a program in New Jersey with what they call, by the way, the New Jersey Association of Active Age Related Activities. It's a little different than yours, not quite the same, but that's the idea. And they changed their name from the New Jersey Department for Aging, because they said only 5% of the people that they dealt with who are older in the state of New Jersey need entitlements. New Jersey is a very wealthy state. People don't realize we have a lot of industry. And 95% need activities that they can and want to pay for, including lifelong learning and so on. So the idea that we're all needy, the idea that we're dregs on our economy, that we have tried, you and me and many others, to disabuse everybody of that. So what have we created? The new super boomer. Instead of, I know we all have to have this thing called life purpose. We're getting out there and we're going to change the world again. That's really as wrong and almost irrelevant to most people as being needy. Are you seeing that too? Because in our conversation, you said, I don't know about life purpose. I know about purpose for living. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you to take a real deep dive with regard to that, because it's the new trend now. You have to have this big life purpose and go change the world, or you're needy. Those are your two choices. Well, there are other choices, like living a life. We come back, we'll be talking a lot more with Colin Milner, one of the leading thinkers in our field, because he's thought this one through. And I want his message to get out to you and everybody in the field of aging. Don't you guys go anywhere. And by the way, get yourself a pencil and paper, because I'm going to be sending you to our next event, which is taking place on May 17th, How to Age Joyfully and Fearlessly. It's a free 90-minute masterclass on getting rid of those fears of aging. And Colin is having an incredible conference coming up, and you're going to want to write all of this down. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da, da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. Inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bowl, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And if you're listening to my voice, and if you've been listening to me since 1988, I can't believe that. It's the first time I've been on the air on WMCA Radio, then WABC, then syndicated, and now on this terrific podcast, which is already 6 years old. You know that I don't have a great throat. You can hear that because you know that my voice is different than it usually is. And this is one of the things that Colin Milner, who is our wonderful honored guest today, the founder of the ICAA, is going to tell you about their next conference coming up, mentioned at the very first few sentences when I began the interview in our first segment. He said that, you know, you pay a little bit of a price. He played pickleball and he's hurting a little bit. Well, things will happen. Things will happen. My throat got bad. But if you understand resilience, if you understand that we will, as we age, have losses, big ones, little ones, ones that come back and the loss is gone and we're cured. If you understand that older age is the most dynamic, the most changing part of your lifespan, then you will want to live joyfully and fearlessly and get all of your disempowering beliefs out of your head. And on May 17th, actually, we're doing our second free masterclass, Live Joyfully and Fearlessly, the three keys to successful aging. We had a terrific crowd last time. Please go to adrianberg.com, and you'll be able to join that event free on Eventbrite. It will lead you right there. Another great event coming up is Collins. I have many times attended this active aging conference, and it's a real catalyst for people in the field, for people who are providers in the field to come together and make changes that we will be able to use all of our lives. So, Colin, let's go throw this back to you. Tell us a little bit about your event that's coming up, how we can find out about that event, and then we shall talk about your concept of purposeful living. First, the event.
So the event is at www.icaa.cc, and the focus is this year, wellness, the next chapter. And that's really where we are today is with COVID-19 and everybody having been locked down for so long, we're now emerging and we're looking at where do we go? What is healthy aging? What is wellness? How do we live a quality lifestyle still in the midst of a pandemic, which it looks like it is on its way to become an endemic? And at the end of the day, it is about each and every one of us embracing a new way of looking at things, which I think we have in many instances. We are now much more versed in technology, many of us, because we've had to. So the question becomes is where do we look to find the answers of what's next for healthy aging and wellness? And our conference is one of the places to do so. You'll find a lot of great experts who will deliver incredible sessions that will be thought-provoking. And you always hear about thought-provoking, but think about what that actually means. It means provoking you to think. And that is our goal, is to provoke you to think differently. And right now, we all need to think differently. And as we embrace population aging en masse now, finally, question is, what do we need to change to be most effective with that? And those answers you will find at the conference.
So one of the things that I do know is that you travel all over the world as a speaker, Japan, China. I mean, there's no place that you haven't been talking about this because the world is aging. Have you seen differences in attitude? Or we seem to be a little bit far behind. In my world of healthy longevity, when you take the leading countries of the world, we're about number 63 on the average of how long we live healthy. We live pretty long, but we have a good number of years in ill health or chronic disease. And Japan, Singapore, even England now are really ahead of us. With regard to this other idea of active aging, what do you see worldwide? Are we behind? Are we leading? Are we somewhere in the middle of the pack?
I think we're all trying to feel our way through it. You know, active aging depends on who you speak to. It means different things to different people, as does almost every term that you use. Our definition for active aging is being engaged in life. And I don't think that there is anywhere in the world that an individual, no matter what their age, doesn't want to be engaged in life. The question is how and what is the benefit of that? A lot of times we tend to medicalize the aging process where there is a completely another side of the conversation, and that is aspirational. What do we aspire to? And I think whether you are in Italy or whether you are in Japan, Turkey, or in Vancouver, British Columbia, or Palm Springs, we all aspire to do different things. And our goal as professionals who work with the population is to help them achieve that. Now,
and you've made an incredible distinction to me. It was a real eye-opener for me, Colin, in a very recent conversation. You made the distinction between life purpose, which is the new buzzword now.
Yes.
And to me, I said to you, you know, that feels burdensome to me. It's almost like getting an A in school now. I have to have a life purpose. And my mom, if I got an A, my mother would say to me, who got an A plus? So is my life purpose as good as other people's life? You know, it's too much for me. And you said, no, Adrian, it's purposeful living. Explain that.
Well, you're absolutely right. If you walk up to most people and say, tell me your purpose in life, I think you'd see people just freeze, because it's a big question. And I would say that there are very few people who truly, truly know the answer to that. I think that the most effective way of looking at things is not what is your big, huge purpose in life, but living a purposeful life where the things you do have meaning to you, no matter what those things are, so that you feel purpose simply by doing. And doing the things that you enjoy and you want to do. It's a different way of looking at it. It isn't big and cumbersome. It's very simple. You know, you could be living a purposeful life and having purposeful experiences just simply spending time with your grandkids, spending time learning and teaching pickleball, as an example, because that brings purpose to you. So the first thing I would look at is, what do you enjoy doing? And when you do it, do you feel purposeful? And how do you embrace that instead of looking at the big, massive purpose?
Right. Woo. So when we come back, I want to talk about going inside senior communities. And this is something you do. You really have to go to Colin's meetings, because they have the most wonderful exhibition floor. You go in there and you will see exercise activities, cognitive health activities. You want to take them home. Most of them are for big organizations. They're as big as your house, but they're terrific new cutting edge stuff. And a lot of them is for cognitive health, biological health, exercise, and so on. So part of that is almost a given with ICAA. Part of active also means moving. You also stay healthy. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Colin's eye view, because he's been watching that part of the industry grow for a long time, from something very simple like a treadmill to who knows what. When we come back, we're going to talk about that who knows what. What's on the horizon for the older adult, whether it's 50 plus, 65 plus, or 85 plus, so that we can stay healthier longer, and who's going to be able to afford it? I warned him I was going to ask him about this. When we come back, we're going to find out just how much is happening for those who are privileged enough to use all of this new equipment, material, health tech, technology, etc. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. Every single week, we bring you the leaders, the greatest leaders in the field of gerontology, geroscience, aging, healthcare, and fun too. Leaders in the field of mature travel, and one of my favorites, advanced style. What should we be wearing so we can knock everybody out when we enter the room? So this is a show really from me, a cheerleader for what I call successful aging. Everybody else has got their own definition. And my current guest, Colin Milner, says everybody's entitled to their own definition. We're here as an industry to support you, whatever your definition of success or active aging, healthy aging, happy aging may be. And one of the ways that Colin does this, honestly, is he ferrets out the new cutting edge experiences, whether it's technology, whether it's a new kind of exercise equipment, whether it's the best foods, best cognitive health devices. And he knows what's what. He knows what's where. So I'm going to throw it to him now because I want to know, Colin, what have you seen that really is cool? Because you know, you've seen a lot. And my complaint as I work with the United Nations, who's going to be able to assess it? Is it still going to be the haves and have-nots of happy and active aging? Two-part question. First, the cool stuff you've seen.
Oh, and there's lots of cool stuff out there. And to your point, if you have money, you can find a lot of cool things. When it comes to technology, you have everything from, stimulation. Now that let's use as an example, if you're having challenges actually walking, you're in a wheelchair, you've had a stroke, any of these things, they have now tools that they can attach to you and stimulate your muscles to help you to get up and move, not well, but still move. You have things like a spoon that will actually self-regulate itself so that for people who have Parkinson's, it will be even instead of shaking. You have wearables that enable people to monitor their health and well-being 24/7 and address every little change. But to your point, each and every one of these takes resources, whether it's provided by resources from the government individually or by an organization that you are part of. Think about it. Will you have a robotic butler? Will you have a robotic housekeeper? And will you be able to actually afford a robotic housekeeper? To your point earlier, a lot of these things are very cool, but a lot of these things do come with a price tag. And the bottom line is, what do I really need to improve my health and well-being? And what can just simply be a nice to have if you got the money?
Now, of course, you have so many people that come to your conference that are in the field of aging. They're the operators of senior communities. They're the staff of senior communities. My favorite is the activity directors that come to find out what they can offer, to their residents. Are they taking leadership here? Are they coming up with, let's say, more egalitarian ways of offering this? Or is it still, even from an organizational point of view, it's interesting for a family member to ask questions like that, if they're helping an older adult choose a senior residence. Used to be the food, how good was the food and how pretty were the chandeliers? But now it's how are they increasing your mobility, as you mentioned? Or do they have virtual reality so that you could go to Rome even though you can't move? I mean, these are interesting and important questions. And is it all a matter of price? Or how would you suggest if you needed to help somebody make a choice? What questions would you ask?
Yeah, I think, one of the key things is that we know, as an example, in a recent report from Deloitte, that by the year 2040, at the center of the healthcare model and at the center of wellness, really, from today, is the individual. So what are the tools that an individual needs and how can we help them maximize the use of those tools? So as an example, in the Deloitte report, it said that the catalyst for change was radically, and I love this wording, radically interoperable data will empower hyper-engaged customers to sustain well-being and receive care only, and that's a key word here, only in the instance where well-being fails. So we all have the ability to now really over-monitor ourselves and need healthcare when it comes to the forefront. To your point, is that a dream? And is that dream really only available to a select few? And I think as we get into things like the Apple Watches and cheaper versions, we will be able to see the pricing come down. We'll be able to see more people utilizing it. We'll be able to see more people understanding their genetic makeup through DNA testing and things like that. But still, at the end of the day, Adrian, there are five very simple things that people can do to live better longer that doesn't cost money. And there was a research project that was done by the American Heart Association, 123,000 patients compiled over 34 years. And it showed that at the age of 50, an individual can live 14 years longer by doing just, this is a female, can live 14 years longer by just doing five things: never smoking, exercising 30 minutes a day, having a normal BMI, eating a healthy diet, and consuming a moderate level of alcohol. Now, the reality is all of us can do that. Whether we choose to do that or not is another situation. If my memory is correct, they found that only 8% of the population were doing all those things. Yes, a follow-up study to this actually showed that the exact same five things not only help someone live longer, but also live better, extended years without cancer, all of these different things. So even with all the different technologies and all the different bells and whistles that we have today, some really simple things that we already have in place can make a massive difference.
And, you know, Colin, I spent the last 2 years as the executive director of the Catalyst Institute for the Delay and Prevention of Age-Related Diseases. And we're talking about Alzheimer's here. We're talking about Parkinson's. We're talking about all the things you don't want to know about. And I don't mean you personally, but none of us want to know about. And these were 80 of the top world's geroscientists and the FDA. And I asked them many times, so you know everything, guys, from transferring blood from a younger person to an older person. You can't even imagine what was going on in their labs. So what should I do? I asked them right out. And guess what they told me, Colin? Exercise, eat the right food, and have a lot of friends.
Yep.
No joke. This is actually science-based. And when we do Live Joyfully and Fearlessly on May 17th, I ask the people, you know how to do this. Why don't you do it? I still have not cracked that code of behavioral change. And I know that at your conference, you actually do deal with that, and particularly with the activity directors. So before we end this little segment, just tell us one more time how to find that outstanding conference.
www.icaa.cc. Just think Collins Club.
Okay. Very good. Well, it is Collins Club, isn't it? And when we come back, we are going to talk about one other very serious issue, but it's becoming, I think, worse. Maybe Colin will have a different view. And that is ageism and what it means to face the fact that day after day, ad after ad, comment after comment, your self-confidence is chipped away, even if you were a huge success before you got a little bit older. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and unaccountably, our show, which is pretty long for a podcast, is running away with us. We have very little time left. I want to remind you that on May 17th, we will have our next section of Living Joyfully and Fearlessly, Three Keys to Successful Aging. And one of those things that I do present to you is how we age and how we can change that. And I mean biologically. One of the things that Colin Milner, our terrific guest, the founder of the International Council in Active Aging, going all over the world, talking about active aging, having a huge conference, probably the largest, most renowned conference in the field every single year and a lot more. Big magazine, all kinds of stuff. One of the things he mentioned was that we need to take care of ourselves with very fundamental things, eating right, having a good weight, exercising. And why don't we do it? Well, one of the reasons I believe that we don't do it is we don't respect the years ahead. We don't respect how much we could do and accomplish in the extra years ahead. Some of it has to do with ageism. Some of it has to do with behavior and habit. So let's bridge those. Colin, there's a lot of ageism out there. And yet, from my understanding of hanging out with geroscientists, we are biologically getting younger. We may chronologically be getting older, but we're biologically getting younger. And yet, no matter how that is the case, we're not seen that way. So first, let's talk about the impact of ageism on ourselves, on our own desire to remain active and be active, and whether it does put a pin in that balloon of greater health span. Do you think that that's the case, or is it just another buzzword?
Oh, I think it is the case, Adrian. I think a lot of us reduce our lives to a rubble in some instances because of our belief, where others build it up and go and do things that we used to think were just for the young, because they realize, you know, the science shows I can. And I think that the difference in language between I can't and I can actually impacts everything from our ability to get a job to how we're treated in healthcare to our own health and well-being to whether our spouse will assist us later on in life. It is just simply something that is very much in our control, but our mind points us in one direction where logically we know we should be going in another.
You know, at the end of our show, every single show for 6 years, I say, get out there, kids, and make it happen. That's the tagline. You'll hear it soon. And there's an implication behind that. The implication is that we have the power to do it. And I hear all the time, Colin, even from my friends who were C-level executives, some of the highest C-level executives, I can't do it. And I say to them, well, everybody who says it can't be done, get out of the way of all the people who are doing it. And I'm fascinated by that difference. It seems purely self-motivation, but you have proof and lots of studies showing that we really are aging better and we should recognize it and live into that. Tell us about some of that information.
Well, think about it. 25 years ago, the big news in aging was that a study out of Tufts University that showed that it doesn't matter how old you are, you could regain your strength and you could walk upstairs stronger and better. Today, there is numerous studies that come out almost every week that tells us that. What is interesting today is that we have things like high-intensity training studies. We see older adults that are now participating in the National Senior Games. We see people doing all these new and crazy things on YouTube that you would have never seen before. You see the cover of MIT's Technology Review a couple of years ago saying old age is over, if you want it to be. And what they're really saying is that your life is yours to manage. The hardest part is changing our habits. And to change that, we need to start with how we change the language in our brain and what we replace the bad habits with good habits. I'll give you a very simple example of that. And that is my father, who passed away a few years ago. I saw him struggling and I said to him, Dad, here's the trajectory of where things are going. We need to do something about this. And of course, I was his kid, so what the heck do I know?
Right.
Nothing. But his gardener knew everything. And and the reality was that he didn't do anything because he didn't believe he had to. And at the end of the day, he had to. We know that you need to change your habits. As you alluded to earlier, years ago, I flew out to D.C. to interview the then Surgeon General, Dr. Richard Carmona, in a very similar experience as you had. And that was, he said, to live a better, longer life, you need to love the one you're with, reduce your stress, eat well, have a proper BMI, exercise, don't smoke, don't drink, you know, all the stuff that we know.
Right. We know.
It's no secret. We just simply need to do it. So the question becomes is, how do we change our habits? And if people had the magic pill to answer that question, there wouldn't be an obesity epidemic.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you that I don't have the magic pill, but I have one little tablet, and that is mutual support and peer groups. And by the way, sounds nice, right? Cozy. I tell you, I get a lot of pushback, and I'll tell you why. I make a suggestion, and that's a suggestion I give to people, my listeners, activity directors. I say, find the positive deviant. Find the person who's doing things right and hook on to them. Make friends with them. Be with them, whether you're in a senior community or an over 55 community, or that you're just in your regular community. It may be a young person. It doesn't have to be somebody your own age. But somebody that is doing the right thing by themselves, the more you surround yourself with those folks, the more you will be like those folks. And people say, wait a minute, I've got a friend for 50 years. You mean to, and she doesn't do anything. You mean to tell me I should abandon her? No, you should not. Part of what you're doing for your own self will be able to support her if she eventually has that need. But I am very much in favor of surrounding yourself with new people whose habits are good and they rub off. It's not a magic pill. But a lot of the reason that couples are in ill health together is that they are each other's peer group. And so this is an issue. Can you find the positive deviant? I don't know. Words of wisdom from Colin, because you've certainly worked with enough communities to know whether or not they are looking at that sort of things for behavioral health change.
You know, I think it's not an easy solution, but I think that they are six simple things to look at. One is to focus as an operator on the person, not the program, not the place, but the person. How do we personalize what we do for each individual? Because no two individuals age the exact same way or at the same rate. The second is to get people to understand and embrace their identity. Wherever they are in life, to embrace themselves. And, you know, they say you got to love yourself to live well. And then to number three, focus on being purposeful. Number four, also utilizing all of this and focus on remaining independent for as long as you can, as best as you can, while at the same time being interdependent on others and interconnected with many. And if we could just simply do those six simple things, they sound simple, I should say, we would live a much better quality of life. Forget all the complicated things people tell you. Just do those six things, figure out how you're going to do them. And by doing them, you will change the way you live and age.
Well, these are incredibly wise words and very true words. And we're here to support you. So we will be looking on May 17th to create groups so that you can support each other. Because most of the people who come to our events are a little bit different. They are a little bit more success-oriented. They are people who, at every stage of their health span, are willing to do exactly what Colin has just suggested. And for those of you in the industry, you can help your residents, your people, your community, your constituents, by learning so much at the ICAA conferences. So we'll end right there. And tell us one more time how to find your next conference.
www.icaa.cc. Once you're on there, you can't miss it.
Can't miss it. And for everybody else, get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate.